Today, we're going to talk a little bit about strengthening our faith and who God is. And we're going to be learning from a passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul was encouraging the church at Philippi. He was teaching them how to have joy in all circumstances, how to keep their focus in the right direction, no matter what life brought their way. And in this particular letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi, he says something remarkable. And, you know, maybe you grew up around church or, you know, you played some sort of sports, and you may have heard the verse that we're going to teach from today, because a lot of people take that verse and take it to mean whatever they desire for it to mean. But how many of you know that God don't want you to do everything? Come on, somebody. He doesn't want you to participate in everything. But oftentimes people want to participate in things or want God to do a certain thing, and God doesn't do it, and they wonder, well, where is God? So today we're going to talk a little bit about how to keep our faith in the right direction, how to keep our faith strong no matter what the circumstances are. In other words, we don't want to be a people who have circumstantial faith. Come on, somebody. Situational faith. You know anybody like that? If it's convenient, I'll have faith. But whenever inconvenience happens or a challenge comes into my life, my faith is shattered and it's weakened and it falls apart. The Bible talks a lot about having faith in God and finishing well and finishing with great faith. In other words, God doesn't want you just to start a life of faith. He wants you to finish with that life of faith. However, throughout life, circumstances and temptations will challenge that faith. But the writer here says there's a way to get through those circumstances and challenges no matter what's going on. And we're going to learn from that today. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God said this to Abram, the father of our faith. He says, here's what you need to do, Abram. You need to leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and you need to go to a land that I will show you. And God goes on in Genesis 12, verse 2, he tells Abram this. He says, I will make you into a great nation. In other words, he says, Abram, I'm gonna make you into a great nation. I'm gonna bless you, and you're gonna be a blessing to many, many more people. He says, your descendants are going to be great. But notice the word there where God says, I am going to make you into a great nation. So see, this is really important, is to submit yourself to God so God can make a way with your faith through all circumstances. However, oftentimes we don't want to submit ourselves. Notice he says, Abram, you need to leave your native country, everything you're familiar with, your family. You need to step away from the familiar into a life of faith. And I'm going to show you something remarkable, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. But notice, God doesn't make him into a great nation nor show him that great land until Abram engages with faith and goes in the direction that God calls him. See, faith is a remarkable thing. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, okay? It is the evidence of things not yet seen, is what the Bible says. But our faith has to be strengthened along the journey, just like your muscles have to be strengthened. Now, I've been out of the gym a few weeks. Can't you tell? Come on, let me give you a side profile. And the gym I go to decided to close down and remodel, so I said, well, I'm just going to take a break from the gym. And, you know, that's kind of catching up with me. That's what a lot of people say with their faith, isn't it? I'm just going to take a break with my faith. I'll get back to it in a few weeks. Well, let me just demonstrate something for you. I want to show you how weak my arms are becoming. Okay, hold on 1 minute. I used to get it down there and rip out like 100 of those before you could clap, okay? But I kind of have taken a break with my gym exercises, and I still have some muscle mass in these triceps here, but those things are weakening, and I need to get them built back up so I can get back on the floor and knock out 100 push-ups. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. But there's some work involved in that. And there's some work involved for you to operate by faith. And so today, this is what Apostle Paul, he tells the church at Philippi. He says, I know, verse 12, chapter 4, he says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Come on, somebody. He says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. He says, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or with little, pay close attention. He says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now, oftentimes in college football, people pray for God to do amazing things and help them win a football game. Some of you are praying that the Clemson Tigers can just win one more game, okay? And you're watching this and you're just like, man, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You can do all things through Christ. Well, what if, you know what, they're just not as good as the other team. And you know, they're praying for God to help them win the football game, but God doesn't help them win the football game. So that would be taking this verse out of context. That's not what this verse means. What this verse means is, you know what? My faith is not a circumstantial faith. My faith is a faith that is strong in all circumstances. My faith doesn't fall apart when things enter my life, when challenges come my way, when my stomach is empty, nor is my stomach full. In other words, the circumstances and situations of life don't determine how strong my faith is. My faith is determined by Christ and Christ alone. I can do all things through Christ, the Messiah, who strengthens me. So the question goes, well, how does Christ strengthen me? Because that would be a remarkable question to answer today. Because it's one thing to read that verse and say that verse. It's another thing to live with strong faith and let Christ strengthen your faith in all circumstances. So I've jotted down a few notes, and I want to help us all today begin to not live by weak faith, but by strong faith. But you need to understand, you're gonna have to stay consistent with your faith, and you're gonna have to work your faith. You have to work your faith that you have in Christ Jesus. You got to do something with it. You can't just hear things and hope for things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not yet seen. So in other words, faith has substance. What are you hoping for? And so I wrote down a few notes about how Christ strengthens me to do all things. Number one is this: he strengthens our understanding of the Word of God. This is what Christ does. This is what the Liberator does. This is what the Messiah does. The Messiah helps us understand the Word of the Lord, the Word of God, the Word of the Creator. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then it goes on down in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And he was full of what? grace and a truth. And so what does the word do? He was with God in the beginning, but the word puts on flesh. His name is Jesus. He's the Christ. And he comes into earth to help us understand the word, to help us understand the living word of God and who he is. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all scripture, everybody say all. That means from front to back, from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, it says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Everybody say teaching. Rebuking, everybody say rebuking. That means get on to. Correcting, everybody say correcting. That means get on to. And training in righteousness, everybody say train. That means spur somebody. Come on, somebody. It says, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. So here it says, the word of God is very, very useful in our life if we will take it and begin to strengthen our faith. Christ comes so our faith can be a strengthened. God's word basically will begin to strengthen our attitude towards life. It'll equip us. And so, that's why it talks about hiding God's word in our heart. So when a situation comes along and a circumstance comes along, then we'll be equipped to exercise our faith and operate in it. And so Christ can strengthen us in all situations when we begin to hide the word of God in our heart. Christ is the visible image of an invisible God, is what the scripture says. In other words, he is God in the flesh, but he's 100% human and he's 100% man all at the same time. And he come from heaven to earth so you and I could understand more about who our invisible creator is. He is the word in the flesh. And again, the word of God, the Bible is written, it's all about this great God who engages with humanity, and he comes to our rescue in certain situations and circumstances. Christ puts on skin, and he reveals a God who will come and rescue us and take us out of situations and circumstances and carry us on a journey. So here we understand that Christ can give us strength in our faith, because he helps us understand the word of God. The next thing I wrote down about how he strengthens our faith is this, and we're gonna camp out on this for just a few minutes. But he strengthens our faith with the reps. Everybody say the reps. Again, I read this verse a few weeks ago, but I wanna go back to it. The Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. In other words, nobody enjoys a trial, but it says, consider it pure joy. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And it goes on to say, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lack anything. And so many people think they're having to do the reps in life because God's mad at them. But has it ever occurred to you that God may have you doing some reps in your life, doing some things you don't want to do in order to prepare you for what he has for you? In other words, sometimes God will ask us to do a rep with a weight so that we can do two reps, or we can do three reps, or we can do four reps. But if you're unwilling to follow the leading of God, And the Holy Spirit coaching your life, then you won't follow through and you won't do the reps. You'll be like, I don't feel like that today. I need to tell you today, faith is not feeling. Amen. Come on. And sometimes God will call us to operate by faith in spite of what we're feeling. And I know this is difficult because I don't feel like doing some things sometimes or the rep that God's calling me to do. But I must take a step and realize that God isn't making me do something I don't want to do because he's punishing me, but he's trying to prepare me to handle the spot I'm going to and where he is taking me to. In other words, he wants to make me stronger. And the only way I can get stronger is to have adversity and challenges in my life. And some people think, well, oh crap, you know, the devil is against me. And everything that happens, the devil is coming against you. The devil hates what God's doing in you, so he's coming against you. But you need to understand, the Bible says that God can use what the enemy means for harm for the good of those who love him. So you need to start understanding that the devil is coming after you. But there's a great God who will build you up in the process to get through the circumstance or the situation, because he's taken you to greater heights and he's taken you into more territory. Many people think they're being punished, but James said that it's to build perseverance. In other words, the trials and the circumstances aren't always a result of something you did. It's just something that happened in order to build you up in perseverance so that you can handle what's coming your way next. And James says, you know, stop thinking, you know, all the time that it's that you've done something wrong and God is punishing you when a trial or tribulation or something comes into your life. And what Jesus teaches us is he teaches us how to do the reps no matter what the temptation is. Yes. In other words, when I look at Christ, There's an old saying, and it's kind of gone out of date because it was kind of washed up because nobody understood what it meant because it became cool to wear a bracelet with letters on it all the time. But there was one that said, WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, and I really think that's a great reminder of every time something comes into our life that's challenging, what would Jesus do? Well, let me tell you what he would do. First and foremost, he would face the challenge and he would step into it and he would pray and he would seek wisdom from above and he would respond to whatever the challenge. No matter what the temptation was, Jesus could persevere through it, because when the enemy tried to tempt him or trials come against him, even to the point of being unrecognized, beaten, and put on the cross, Jesus kept persevering because he knew what was in front of him. He knew what was ahead. He had hope in the future. And again, a lot of people think it was just to get off that cross and resurrect from the grave. But Jesus wanted to resurrect from that grave so you could understand the power of the living God in your own life and he could build his family out of you and me. And so the joy set before Christ was you, was me. And so he persevered through the trials and temptations. In other words, it wasn't a life of luxury all the time. Paul says, I've learned to live on plenty, and I've learned to live on little. And it's not little or it's not plenty that determines what my faith is in and where I'm going. Paul says it's determined by who I know, and his name is Christ, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And my friends, let's stop letting our faith be shattered by the circumstances and the challenges. Let's ask the question, what would Jesus do? You know, Jesus told him how to pray. You remember? Deliver us, you know, from evil. Deliver us from evil. In other words, don't let us fall into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. And so don't let us fall into temptation. And so Jesus is the example. You know, we're all going to be tempted by the enemy and our faith is going to be tested by God. And God's going to ask us to do some things in life, but we can focus on what would Christ do in this circumstance or this situation, and he would persevere. He would challenge people when they were wrong. He would challenge them to get it right. He was always loving. He was always kind. He was always caring, but he always told the truth. And if someone was living outside the truth of knowing who God is and the purpose of God in their life, he would look at them and he would challenge them. And when they come after him and they attacked him verbally, physically, all of these kind of ways, he stood in the face of that temptation and kept pressing through because he knew what he came to earth to do. See, purpose drives passion. In other words, Jesus had a passion to live out his purpose on a cross and defeat death and resurrect from a grave. He had a passion, you know what, to do all that for you and me. He fulfilled his purpose on that cross because he had a passion for you and he had a passion for me and he had a passion for the next person and the next generation and the generation before us, the generation after us. Jesus had a passion for people. Come on. So the Bible says he had great compassion. In other words, he come with passion. Because he had a purpose in life and he lived life on purpose and he lived life passionately and he had compassion in his heart because he wanted people to be restored to the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He tabernacled among us. Why did he do that? So we could understand who God is and let Christ strengthen us in all circumstances, in all situations. You want to know how to get through a circumstance or situation? Just read the Bible, understand the revelation of who it reveals Jesus to be. And every time something comes along, begin to say, what would Jesus do? How would he respond to this? And sometimes you know what he would do? He'd flip over tables in a temple. Come on. Not because people were selling stuff, but because people weren't honoring his Father's house as a house of prayer. In other words, they had made it about something else instead of about his Father. And so he'd flip over tables. You know what he'd do? Sometimes he'd step into crowds of people and he'd say, you brood of vipers, you wicked people, you're coming after me and you don't understand that God has come for you and he's standing right in front of you, but you're trying to compare yourself and what you do to other people, and you need to understand that I have come to deliver you and offer you hope. Sometimes Jesus would step into a situation and he would, you know, he would touch someone who was blind or who was lame, and he would help a person that was at the end of themselves, you know, become whole again. In other words, Jesus used wisdom and he was God in every circumstance and he fought through the temptation, but he didn't handle every circumstance or every challenge the same exact way. And this is where a lot of us get confused. When challenges, every circumstance and every challenge is unique. Every person that you encounter is unique. Their crisis and their circumstance is unique. In other words, it needs different parts of the body and different gifts to help them get well and become everything that God has created them to be. But some of us think that we can just be Christ in our own flesh and be him alone, where the Bible says we are a body. Christ is the head and we are the body, and it takes all of us doing the work of the ministry so other people can be strengthened in their faith and live out who God has created them to be too. Every circumstance is different. God has given his church, his people, a variety of gifts. And it's to reach out to humanity in a powerful way. There's some people who are gifted in what we would call apologetics in the Christian faith. Other words, they're defenders of the faith. I'm a proclamation person of the faith. I'm not always a person that can defend every angle that you come at me with and asking me that Adam have a navel and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you the good works that God has done, and I can tell you the story of the Bible, and I can tell you what God wants to do in your life because I believe his word by faith, and I believe it's why Christ came. See, some of us are trying to operate out of the gifting that God has given us. And we wonder why the world around us isn't changing. You don't have to manufacture the gift that God gives you. All you have to do is operate in it. Amen. And when you operate in it by faith, the world around you and people are encouraged to begin to take steps of faith and believe God. And so today, what I'm trying to help us understand is we as a church, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. If we will let him, the word of God, begin to be our understanding and we will do the reps he's asking us to do. Sometimes, you know, I know that God is asking us as a body to take larger steps, and all he's trying to do is line up the parts of the body so that we can take that step together by faith. Now, here's the deal. It doesn't always happen the way I want it to do or as fast as I want it to do. But I understand, you know what? I got to keep persevering with my faith and the calling that God has called us to because he's called us to greater things, and we're just in a season where he's developing perseverance. In other words, we may not be ready to handle what he's going to do through us next. And he's trying to build us up in the current circumstances if we'll do the reps and stay faithful to do something greater in the future. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us when we understand he is the word of God and we do the reps he gives us to do. But also our faith can be strengthened. And I'll close with this. Our faith can be strengthened through Christ Jesus when we understand the power of the cross, or what I like to refer to of the love sign. Because the cross of Christ is a love sign. It was a wicked execution stake in that particular culture. In other words, it was a stake that they drove in the ground or nailed a cross beam to a tree. It was a stake to hang people on and crucify them. It was wicked. But God took that wicked cross and turned it into a love sign for humanity. If you'll begin to understand what he did on that cross and apply it by faith to your life and operate in it on a daily basis. In other words, I understand that Christ didn't crawl on that cross to forgive me of my misses of the mark of God's glorious standard because of something I deserved. He did it because he was madly in love with me as a created human being. And it's not something I did. It's something of who he was. And so the cross is a love sign. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Amen. And so do you understand that God is madly in love with you, and the cross, the wicked cross, the cruel cross, the blood on the cross is all a love sign to show you how horrific sin is of not having faith in God. The wickedness of sin that comes into our life, how it causes death. But God chooses to shed his blood and give it for you and for me so we can have life. The cross is the great exchange, my friend. The cross of Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you when you understand the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection because Cross did it for you and he did it for me. And so God has given us a way to remember that. And we do it often, and we do it oftentimes in our community or our family type services. We will do it, or we have done it some in our weekend services, but oftentimes we get together as a community of believers and we take this thing called communion or the Lord's Supper. I invite you, if you want to take it, you know, individually on the weekend, we offer that in the back of the rooms if you desire to do that. But understand what the power of communion is. The power of communion, and I invite you to some of our communion services, they're amazing. But the power of communion is remembering Jesus. Jesus said, every time you do this, you eat this bread and you drink this cup, remember me. And you're proclaiming my death until I return. So it's a proclamation that I'm trusting the love sign. But it's also helping me remember God was madly in love with me. And because he was madly in love with me, no matter what the circumstance, what the situation, whether I got plenty or I've got little, it doesn't determine God's love for me. It's the cause of who he was and what he did for me on a cross. See, and then we worship this Jesus. See these songs that they sing here on the weekend? They're not just songs with musical lyrics to them. They're songs where we come in and we're worshiping together in an atmosphere. And we're worshiping this Jesus. We're singing to the top of our Waymaker, because he is a Waymaker. We're talking about who Jesus is and the power of Jesus. And can I tell you what God does through worship? He reaches other people and he begins to touch their faith. If we would be a faithful people and we would worship by faith, worship Jesus by faith, then people step into that atmosphere, into that worship atmosphere, and they begin to have faith in God too. Yes, faith can happen all over the place. It can happen at work. It can happen in all the challenges of life. It can happen in the bedroom. It can happen in your living room. It can happen in your car. But faith does something when God's people, you know, take their gifts and they put them together and they begin to worship Jesus by faith in an atmosphere because of God's amazing love. Something happens and the atmosphere just begins to change. And those around us who don't have much faith, they begin to cling to a little bit more faith, and their faith is strengthened. See the power of your worship. The power of a worship service can change somebody's life. It can change people's destination. See, we don't come here to just check something off our list and say, God, look what we did for you today. We come here to worship Jesus and lift up each other's spirit so that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It doesn't mean we're not gonna walk out of here and experience a challenge. But my friend, we can have faith in all circumstances. And the circumstances don't diminish our faith when we're allowed our faith to be built up in Christ Jesus. Jesus is love. God is love. And my friend, he cares for every single one of us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Have you submitted your life to Christ Jesus? Because just like he made Abraham into a great nation, he'll make you into a great person of faith if you'll submit to him and follow him with your life. He's a good God. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God, and I thank you for this word. God, I know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And God, I pray you would build our faith up. You would strengthen our faith. You would begin to do amazing things in the hearts of people in this room. And God, I know that people are experiencing different circumstances, different challenges. But God, I pray that we could be a community of faith, a people of faith, that our focus is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Liberator. And we wouldn't fall into temptation. We would be delivered from the evil one. We would keep each other encouraged. And we would have the perseverance to keep pressing through the circumstances of life because our hope is in who he is. Jesus, you announced you're going to return for us one day. And we're looking forward to that return. But I pray, God, that we would persevere and we would keep practicing our faith until you do return. God, I pray for many to recognize who you are through our faith in you. And God, they would come into that family and they would spend eternity with you. And if there's a person here today that's never made that decision to follow Christ, I want to give you a personal invitation to do so this very day. And simply, what it takes to follow Christ is say, God, I'm at the end of myself and I need forgiveness for going my own way. And today, Jesus, I receive the love, the mercy, and the grace you showed to me as a human being on that cross. And I receive it by faith. I want to live by the power of the resurrection from this point forward. And I want to move forward with my life. I want to be a person who perseveres, a person that finishes and finishes well. God, may I stay connected and do my part because I believe wholly you will do your part. Tell God, thank you for the gift of salvation, the gift of that cross, the gift of Jesus, the word who became flesh for your sake. And I invite you to walk in the fullness of that from this point forward. And you prayed that prayer by faith. I want to say welcome to the family of God. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. And all God's people said, amen.